This past Monday, I made a banana bread with the help of my son. When we mixed all the ingredients we needed for the recipe, he asked me if he could add one more ingredient, orange juice, into the mix before it went into the oven. I told him no and explained to him that we don't need to add orange juice for this recipe because we don't want the wrong ingredient changing the taste of the banana bread. You are probably thinking to yourself, why am I talking about baking and making a bread with my son? For me, this moment was like a parable for the different ingredients that make up our life. In today's gospel, Jesus is offering a warning to two brothers about the problem of allowing the wrong ingredients into their life and relationships by telling them, be on guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. The reason why Jesus is giving this warning to the two brothers is because one of the brothers wanted Jesus to tell the other one to divide the family inheritance with him. And Jesus felt obligated to tell them, I am not here to be a judge over your relationship with money and your family. But I am here to teach. I am here to teach about the importance of preventing greed and possession from ruining your relationship with God and others. And to make this point clear, Jesus began to tell to the two brothers the parable of the rich fool. The rich fool was a blessed man in his own eyes and probably to the eyes of many others. Why? Because he has a land that produced abundantly, and the production of his land is so plentiful that he even needed to make a bigger barn to store all his crops and grains. And he said to himself, I will do this. I will put down my barns and make a bigger one, and there I will store all my grains, all my goods. And then I will do this. I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. My brothers and sisters, I don't think Jesus called this man a fool because he has been blessed by God with all this productive land and with wealth. But instead, Jesus is calling the rich man fool because he has no gratitude for God. This man believes he received all these resources and richness because he is so good and deserving. He feels that he doesn't need to be in relationship with God because he already is overly satisfied with possessions. And because of that, Jesus is calling this man fool. He doesn't want God in his life, or he thinks he doesn't need God. Jesus also believes this is a foolish man because he showed no gratitude or mercy for the workers who are truly the one taking care of his land. These workers are the one making sure that his crop produce to keep him rich. The real problem with this man in the eyes of Jesus is that he's not allowing the ingredients of gratitude and selflessness toward God and others into his life. This man is only leaving room for the ingredients of selfishness and greed to be let in. He is not full because of his wealth. I don't believe Jesus has something against wealth. I do believe he has a problem when wealth and prosperity is being taken for granted and not being used for the right way. Now, just like in Jesus' time, we all know someone who is suffering because they don't have access to the right resources. They don't have access to the right medical care system. We all know someone who cannot feed their own family and themselves. We all know someone who cannot provide a shelter for the family. Even with the violence we see and hear in our communities, all the troubles in our communities, in some way or another, can be connected to the greed that can be allowed in our life. My brothers and sisters, this morning in this parable, Jesus is simply offering a warning to all of us against the ingredients of greed. Jesus knows that we need help to prevent greed, and he wants to share the right ingredients with all of us. This is why he taught us the two great commandments. The first one is to love God with all our heart and soul. And the second one is to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. The question is, how can we show that we are implementing this lesson? First, God wants us to accept the invitation to be in relationship with him, to be grateful for all the good that God has given to all of us. God wants to remind us that Jesus came to share his identity with all of us. Jesus came to tell us that we are God's beloved children. And as God's beloved children, we need to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. We need to share and be part of the mission of the church by serving Christ and all people the best we can. We need to share the good that we have with our brothers and sisters. Be there for one another in times of need, if that is all we can offer. Above all, we need to remember that we, as God's beloved children, we are told that with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will bring freedom to the oppressed, and together we will make a better community for all God's people. My brothers and sisters, may we always remember that love is the ingredients that bind us together in perfect harmony. Amen.